home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and it is a positive new year with the same old problems. Pittsburgh Steelers in the way. Ravens will be in Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Luke and I will be in Pittsburgh. One of us will be in the press box. I don't know. I don't like country music, so going to the Jason Aldean bar doesn't sound like such a great idea, or the Bar Louie. But we will be in Pittsburgh together. I'm putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour together into January. Couple dates in January, going a little softer with weather and whatnot. And then, of course, we're doing a cup of soup or bowl the first week of February. And I'm not going to be as crazy sort of marathoning because it kind of killed me 2 years ago, but we're going to do as much good as I can breathe out during the cold weather months. I don't know how this Raven thing's going to go here in the coming weeks. This guy's been after me most of the football season to come on the show. I'm looking forward to having him on. He has worked at Major League Baseball for a long time. And I'm going to let him give his background. He's got a great Jersey accent, so it sounds like a Sopranos background here. Vinny Velarde is involved in film and has a dream of making a Lamar Jackson. I hope your Lamar Jackson dream ends with him doing the Believe That and having a real honest to God parade here in Baltimore, Maryland. But I know when you reached me back in the summer to come on the show, it smelled a little better. But hey, first thing I texted or tweeted out the minute that they lost to Cleveland was the Ravens can still win the Super Bowl. So your dream is still alive as a videographer, Vinny. Welcome on, man.
Thanks so much for having me, Nestor. I really appreciate it. So I've been working at Major League Baseball for 15 years. I currently work in their graphics department on their live shows and do documentaries.
Are you Yankees or Mets?
Yankees.
All right, yeah.
But I started there as an intern. I worked my way up as an editor, and then I did prompting operating for the on-air talent, and now I do graphics for them. And on the side, I do independent filmmaking. I actually directed my first feature horror film called Trapped Inside My Sin. So it's not sports related, but because I'm a filmmaker and I'm in sports as well, my dream, I'm a diehard Ravens fan. I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's an amazing quarterback. And I know he's been through a lot of trials and tribulations throughout his career, and
We're
his
just trying to
family.
get him on the field Sunday night, right? So he can
That
create a
too.
miracle, right? Literally.
100%. I'd love him to play. I mean, it's tough when he's dealing with these nagging injuries, and you don't know week to week if he's going to be in there. It's very like there's a lot of anxiety involved with that.
I do sports radio in Baltimore, so I'm keenly aware when he doesn't make it on the practice field on Wednesday and it becomes the biggest story in town, which has been the last 12 weeks. So, I mean, it has been high drama around here all the way around. And to get to this point where things are going to happen. And look, the reporting last week about him in the building and where they are, I feel like we could be coming to an end of an era here. And if they all kumbaya and they all get together next week after they're eliminated, or 3 weeks from now after they're eliminated, or if there's a parade, there's nothing to talk about. But it feels like we're a long way from that being able to happen 5 or 6 weeks from now. So the end of this year becomes a massive inflection point for the franchise and moving forward. And I know you watch Florio and he doesn't have an agent. It's just really complicated. And the fact that he hasn't played much and played well this year complicates things further, I think, for the whole organization.
Yeah, it's really challenging. I mean, I try to believe as much as I can that they're going to turn it around. They're going to get it going. You feel like each week there's something that steps in the way, whether it's an injury or they have a big lead and then they blow it at the end. But I, for whatever reason, I still feel like there's some kind of magic when Lamar's on the field. Like when he's on there, it's different than like if we had no Lamar in the future, I feel like the team wouldn't be the same and the fan base would probably be like not showing up as much, and that belief in them winning a Super Bowl, I feel like wouldn't that nobody would believe as much in them potentially winning the Super Bowl unless they got some other crazy top-notch
Well, the thing that
elite
concerns
quarterback.
me is him not having an agent. The thing that concerns me is that there was discord. That concerns me that he hasn't made practices, which pisses off the coaches because
Yeah,
they
it's
spend the whole time. Then there's the they've been winning with the backup quarterback, which is why they're still alive here this week. They should have been running the ball with Derrick Henry, which is more of a coaching issue and something we talked about and ran through last week. But here's where I bring it in, Vinny. And by the way, Vinny Velarde is our guest. He works for Major League Baseball. He's a Raven fan. I'll let you tell your Lamar film story and do all that in a minute. But for me, the question, and you working inside of baseball, and look, Aparicio is my last name. Baseball's kind of my was my primary gig before Peter Angelos came around here. And you know, if you're a Mets guy, I'd haze you right now about the Alonso thing, but
Well,
I'm gonna be nice with you because we got to play you this year.
that was a great move on you guys' part. I think they're
Hey,
going to be
man,
much better this year.
I've been waiting 40 years, 40, you know, 42 years now for something great to happen. All of Luke Jones's lifetime, as he would like to tell you, as he was born in October of 1983. But the Lamar thing for me, and this goes to his diva status. This goes to him being a two-time MVP. Should have been three-time. He got screwed last year. This goes to the weather here. This goes to where his destiny is really going to be. Is it, you know, live and die as a Raven? They made him a restricted free agent. He asked to be traded a couple years ago. He's had all of these things that if he weren't Lamar, I mean, he told a fan to, you know, perform fellatio on himself for 5 days. It sat out on Twitter. Like he made that goofy Saturday Night Live commercial that had the athletic thing that looked literally like it came from John Belushi's Saturday Night Live studio. Like it looked like a skit. Like again, he is an eccentric cat. Right down to the teeth that I thought everybody in the league's got the teeth now. So it's like somebody's clearly making a lot of money selling the diamond teeth to the football players because I don't see them anywhere else. If anybody's got anything to offer me, let me know. My teeth are nice. But all of that aside, do they feel like they can win with him in the building? They're going to have to renegotiate with him. It's $60, $70, $80 million a year. They're going to have to remarry him again. He's going to have to remarry them. And that's where, to me, does he want to be here? Because that's just as important as the do they love him? And what are the circumstances and what are the options? And Joe Burrow wants out of Cincinnati. And there's tectonic plates here. They got a quarterback up with you with the Giants, and they don't have a coach, right? And somebody's going to want that seat. It might be Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh if they're thrown out on Monday because they lose this game, right?
Right.
So there's just a lot of money and a lot of power. But like in the NBA, I know you're baseball and I'm football and whatnot. In the NBA, the players just say, I want to go play there, and that's where I want to go play. And Lamar will have the ability to do that to some degree if he really wants to play in Miami. This is his grand chance to go home, that there's a door sitting there in some way. I don't know. And I don't know how. And look, I know how salary cap works. And I know if he wants to play in Miami bad enough, he would take less money for a minute to do that, to figure out, to move things around. Like, this isn't good right now, Vinny. Like, it's certainly
That would
if they.
stink if you went to Miami,
If
because
they lose with the backup quarterback and get eliminated on Monday morning,
it's gonna be a long off season.
it's a bad thing here. And it just like if the backup quarterback goes up and beats the Steelers on Sunday night, it's bad news in Pittsburgh Monday morning. Something really weird's going to happen here.
Yeah, one of these teams is gonna have a long, long off season. It's just with Lamar wanting to leave, it's so hard to fathom him not being a Raven the rest of his career, because he's had such a fruitful career in the two MVPs. He should have won three MVPs. It just to see him go to Miami would be like a slap in the face, because I feel like it's like I can't imagine him going somewhere else to win a Super Bowl elsewhere. If he's gonna do it, he's gotta do it in Baltimore. And it's just like it wouldn't be the same without him. So
Are
I just
you a Raven fan or are you a Lamar fan? I'm trying to figure this out.
I'm both a Ravens fan and a Lamar
So
fan. I guess.
you were a Raven fan when Flacco was the
Oh
quarterback.
yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, because
I like that
there is
hard-nosed defense.
absolutely, dude, you're a younger guy, and but you've been at it a while. You're old enough to be younger than me, but old enough to be old. There is a whole thing over the last 10 years of having this Michael Jordan kind of player here that,
Yeah.
and Vinny, I saw this. The year they played, I guess it was 19, they played out in LA at the Coliseum. They played the Rams before the building was built out there. And I had never been inside that. I'd seen Springsteen in the arena, but in
Right.
the sports arena, but the Coliseum, the Memorial Coliseum, where, you know, the 59, my cousin played the World Series in 59 there against the Dodgers. In that stadium, I went to drive around that day. It's USC, it's on the campus. It's the edgy part of LA that Snoop talks about, South Central. So you roll through there, and he was barely a player. He was a sec, you know, in he was in a year where he was going to win the MVP, and it was and they won 51-3. They beat the piss out of the Rams that night in those yellow uniforms or whatever. And I drove around and bought. There were Lamar Jackson jerseys, shirts, knockoffs. Like there are at a concert, you know, when a concert comes to town, there's guys hawking shirts. They were hawking Lamar shirts out in the middle of LA in
Wow.
2019, and they were selling, and they weren't the Raven fans. They were just the people who love football. And so when you call, when you reach me and say, I want to do a film on Lamar, I love Lamar, it's my dream. And I'm thinking to myself, there's a whole bunch of people that never liked the Ravens that love Lamar that now are Raven fans. I see them on the internet because they don't know from Raven history at all. They just love Lamar. And it's almost Trumpian where if you say anything about Lamar,
In a
it's,
negative way.
oh my God, how dare you? Yeah, listen, there's going to come a point. Every team in the league had a chance to draft him and nobody did. Every team in the league had a chance to steal him 3 years ago and nobody did. So there is a point where negotiating with him, bringing him in, doesn't want to come to OTA, like all the stuff that's been okay here because he's won MVPs, it might not fly somewhere else in a different system with different coaches. And it might not be flying so well right now when he's unavailable to play this week. You know, that's all.
Yeah, that makes it all the much more frustrating that that's the part that's frustrating to me is because he's like right there, he's right on the cusp every year to potentially get to the Super Bowl or win one, and then these little nagging injuries happen that aren't like season enders. You wonder, like, cause you see like guys like Aaron Rodgers and some of these other quarterbacks with the fractured wrist, or Herbert with the surgery he just had. They come back and they're winning games, even though Rodgers just lost his last game, which helped us big time, but they come out and grind it out. I know Lamar was trying to grind it out these last few weeks with the hobbled, the ankle, the knee, the hamstring, and I give him credit for that. And I know the back, I don't know how bad the back, well, it looked like it was pretty bad, but it wasn't like anything damaging to the point where he should be out the rest of the year. So I feel
If
like
he had a
after,
cracked rib, they'd lie about it.
yeah,
They
after
just
this,
would. They
well,
would. I mean, I'm telling you, they would lie about
that's
it.
what
So,
it could be. And if
yeah.
that's the case, then I understand why he wouldn't be playing this week coming up. But if it's really just a back contusion,
I
this
don't
week,
think there's any lack of want, Vinny. I mean, I think he wants to win and certainly wants to be out there. Then the question is, what's the value to the franchise if he can't be out there and he's a $65 million cap number next year and they feel like they can't afford to run him? Which is right. I mean, like, it's like having a fast car you can't drive fast. Like, and that's really where the issue is. And if you look at the success they had last week, Snoop ran the ball 8 times for 60 yards. That's part of the design. That's part of what makes Derrick Henry so lethal.
effective, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we need from we need Lamar to be back to Lamar again, doing the same kind of stuff, but running like he used to, like when he runs 50,
Lamar
60.
running into linebackers was always problematic. That's why a lot of teams didn't want him.
I
Like
know, and
literally.
it's a risk, it's a big risk, but when it's working, it's like the most electrifying thing you ever. Like, I want to see that Super Bowl where you see him on the big stage for the whole world to see him, that electrifying, like, now you see me, now you don't type of thing, when he's going to hand it off and you think Henry has it, but Lamar hasn't. He's running around the end route, and next thing you know, they're up 30-13 in the fourth quarter, and they're about to win this. Like, that's the Lamar I'm waiting for. And it's like when you think you're going to get that every week, and out of nowhere, it's like, oh, they're stalling. It's 20-17 in the fourth quarter, and the game's on the line. Pittsburgh's rushing Lamar, and then he's like looking deer in the headlights, and then he gets sacked, and then we're screwed.
Well, the defense and all these double-digit leads that Harbaugh has pissed away and squandered, a lot of that is about bad game planning and not running the football when you've built the team to run the football, especially the last 2 years. There've been no excuse.
Just like the New England game at the end, Henry should have been running in the fourth quarter to close out the game, and that would have been, we wouldn't be in the position we were in this past
Well,
week. I
that's
mean,
my point. Last week it was fire Harbaugh for that. If Monday morning Harbaugh, and oh, by the way, I'll go to Tomlin, fire Tomlin, boo and renegade, all of that. If that's the scene as the Ravens
that's what we're hopeful for.
are putting on their New Year's hats in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, and the Ravens are playing Houston here, it'll feel like the Ravens did something this year, even though the bar has been much higher. But maybe they get Lamar back next week. Maybe he plays against
That's what
Houston.
I'm.
Maybe they go to Jacksonville and win. Maybe they're in a championship game and it all gets deodorized and all the losses, all the problems, because that's the script you want to write in your fantasy movie. Vinny Velarde is here. He's been trying to get on a show for a couple months, and finally he's got like a job in Major League Baseball. Tell me what you do, man. You're like, you got a real gig.
Yeah, I'm a freelance graphics operator over there. So on like MLB Tonight, MLB Central, or any shows that we work on that I'm assigned to that day, I'm pretty much operating the graphics on their live TV shows, for whatever show
You
we're
work with
working.
Harry Reynolds a little bit.
Oh yeah, I see him all the time.
Listen. Harold Reynolds to me. So this picture I have here, and you tell Harry, okay, when you see him, this
Absolutely.
picture here is from my condo. I lived on the 23rd floor of this building for 19 years. I don't live there
Right.
anymore. I moved out to the burbs a couple years ago. But these pictures I took are from
No, I
any
like the
one of the
back.
19 years. So yeah, I had this beautiful view. This was Harold Reynolds' condo when he was an Oriole in
Wow.
1993, four, five. That era, he played. Came from Seattle, signed here with Ripken as a double play thing before Bordick, like all of that. Right? Go, ch check it out. And this is
Okay.
he left Griffey and and Randy Johnson, that thing to come and play here, and he had a nice season or two, as I remembered. I mean, Harry was a great player. Went to some all-star games, all that. Harold Reynolds did one of the nicest things ever to a punk from Dundalk. I'm a young kid. I had long hair then, too. I have long hair now, but I had long hair. And Harry, I look, there were no Ravens here then. That's how far back I'm going. Like, I'm going back to the fact that we were never getting a football team here. That's 93, 94, 95. So
Okay.
Harold's in the locker room. I'm always there, Nasty Nestor, doing my show. And back on WITH before we had the radio stations, 32 years ago. And Harry was there every day, and Harry dressed nice, and he was single at the time, and my size, very few, Cal Ripken, 6'5", Harry was my size, 5'10", buck 60, buck 70, whatever. I was probably a little heavier then. And he had a sweater in his locker, and I'm like, that's a great looking sweater, Harry. I always see you wearing it. It's a good looking sweater. He's like, here, man, take it. I want you to have it.
Yeah, he's got that kind of personality.
It's like, for 32 years later, you don't forget. And it was a sweater I could not have afforded at that time, right? I mean, he was a ball player making 800 grand a year at the time, or
Right.
whatever it was. And it was a nice menswear sweater that was probably a $200. It was a nice sweater that I could never. It wasn't a JCPenney thing, one where I shopped, right? And he gave it to me, and I wore it for years. And I always thank him when I've seen him and all that. But like Harold Reynolds, one of my favorite people that I met in
Yeah.
sports that collect through these years.
Super nice guy. I've worked with him all the years I've been there. Anytime we're in the hallway, he'll give me a nice greeting and stuff. There was one time he bought Chinese food for the whole crew.
That's Harry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would also say with him, I remember him trying to get into television and breaking in. And I remember his first baby steps on TV because I knew him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember watching
And
him on ESPN a little bit and stuff like that back in the day. Yeah.
but he was, I don't want to say not a natural. He got so good at it so quick.
Oh,
Like when
yeah.
I and you work in television, so you know what I'm talking about. Like some guys haven't translated, and some guys translate better. And look, I'm an old broadcaster myself, and an old journalist, and an old media critic journalist, and all that. So when I watch things, I watch it from more of a I could never do play by play in a million years. I've embarrassed myself doing a soccer game. Like, there's just things I can't
That
do,
looks super
things I wouldn't
sound.
be good at.
Yeah.
Color commentating, how good people are at what they do. I think the art of doing television, and when athletes do it seamlessly and get really, really good at it, I admire that. And Harold Reynolds is one of those guys. And I think in general, Luke and I talk about, I'm not bagging on NFL Network, but I guess I am. I think the Major League Baseball Network, you guys do a great job. And
I
anytime I
appreciate
put it
it.
on, as an Oriole watcher from afar, I always get a nice picture
Yeah.
of what you guys do. You guys work hard up there in Secaucus. I know that.
I appreciate that. Greg Amsinger, the lead host, he does a really, like him and Dan Plesac and Harold Reynolds, when they're all together, they have a really good
You
chemistry
see
on the.
Ripken too, Billy?
Oh, yeah. He comes in sometimes and he's always goofing. Even behind the scenes, he's goofing around with us and stuff like that. He
That's
likes,
Billy.
he loves the studio being like 40 degrees because he's always sweating and stuff. So he's like, everybody's freezing in the studio, and he even wants it even colder than that at times. So he's always joking.
Give Billy all of my love because I haven't seen him in a
Absolutely.
long time. He's
Oh, he
if
cracks
I said
everybody up.
he's my favorite Ripken, I would be like that would be unfair to Ryan. So I gotta be nice here to his nephew. But I miss Bill, and Bill's also great on television. And
Oh,
Bill just
absolutely.
calls the way he sees it and knows baseball,
He's like
forgot
a
more than anybody's ever gonna
comedian.
know.
He's a comedian on there. He makes it
Absolutely.
super entertaining.
He gave a great speech ripping his brother at my Nice Guy Awards 25 years ago, because his brother had just retired, was going to the Hall of Fame and all that. And it was like a funny line that he said Cal was going to the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl to be the grand chairman. He said, "I will be home eating Tostitos, whatever it was. So
That's
anyway,
hilarious.
Vinny Velarde's here. He works in Major League Baseball and in and out and around the business. So give your Lamar dream, because you wrote to me as like sort of, you're like a videographer. You make movies, right? You make documentaries, right?
I make sports documentaries and then I also do horror feature films. So I recently did a horror film called Trapped Inside My Sin, which is a low
Ravens
budget.
lose on Sunday night. You come film a horror show here Monday morning if you want.
It'll be called Purple Flame instead of Purple Rain.
Oh no, man.
No, I'm
Awful.
just messing with you. But no, I always believed Lamar will one day get over the hump, and I always believed him to do it as a Raven. I remember he made that promise on draft night.
Bleed at.
You're gonna get a Super Bowl out of me. And I want that to come. I want him to be true to his word there, and I want him to stay with Baltimore and get it done. It might take a couple more years, but I firmly believe it'll happen. And my goal, because I heard the story that he wears number 8 in memory of his father and grandmother, because they both, I think, if I remember correctly, they passed away on his 8th birthday. And that's why he wears number 8. And once he wins the Super Bowl, he's going to retire that number to wear number 1. And it almost feels like it's meant to happen at some point, but it just keeps like falling short for all these different reasons that we mentioned. And my goal is to either make a documentary or a narrative feature film with actors and stuff, even if it's a super low budget, to cover
There's
like
not a
the.
lot known about him, just so you know. You know, 9 years into this, he's not let anybody in for a deep dive. I've never seen a real journalist drive around with him in
No.
Pompano and point thing. I've like he's not well documented. He's not worldly in the way that having an agent, or he doesn't, you know,
He's
he's
very
not
private
going into
person.
politics when he's done. He's not, I don't know what his destiny will be. I know all he's ever really thought about doing is winning football, and now he's got more money than he ever could have conceived having. But the thing that eludes him is what you're talking about, right? I mean,
And
he's
he
got a
always talks about
statue in
that.
Louisville. Is all he's got everything a man could want except the Super Bowl. And that could be said for Josh. It could be said for 100
Oh,
guys in
yeah.
this league, including Dan Marino going back. Like, if it were easy, everybody'd be doing it, you know?
But with Lamar, he gets so much extra, for whatever reason, he gets a lot more criticism, it feels like, than Josh Allen and some of these other quarterbacks that haven't gotten it done yet. It feels like, whether it's because people don't believe in him or like his style of play and don't believe he can get it done with that style of play. And there's another reason I feel like I want to see him prove a lot of the doubters out there wrong that he can actually finally get over that hump, especially because that's his main, it seems like that's his main goal is to win a Super Bowl. And it's like, why would you want to go to another? I know you could maybe help another team, but I feel like, and I know the Ravens have had their issues with the coaching
I
lately.
don't think he would want to go play for the Vikings or the Seahawks or whatever. I think.
But even Miami, their organization's a little like, I feel like the Ravens' culture is better than Miami's culture, with all due respect
Well,
to
you better
Miami.
hope he thinks that and they think that of him.
I hope
Like literally, I mean,
not.
that's my sports radio answer to you after
Yeah.
all these years, is just sort of like, we're gonna find out how they all feel. Listen, I would say that about Ozzie. All the years where I thought I knew who they were picking, where DaCosta would be giving me some clues, or Brian Billick or Marvin, or, you know, all the years I covered it, I would always say to the draft people, here's what you can do on draft night. See who Ozzie picks, because that would
Right.
tell you who he loves. And I would tell you that, let's see what happens here this week, next week, the week after. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. I think at some point here, early in 2026, they will have their Waterloo. And I don't know, it might be Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night. I don't know. Like, but I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. And when that happens, because of the money, the kind of year he's had, where he is on the tire, how they felt about him running into linebackers 8 years ago versus how they feel about it now. And if they're all married and kumbaya, great. I just know the stadium is emptied out 5 times. They've
Right.
lost 6 times at home this year. The owner, while so far off the grid now and so far out of this that he can't even answer a question about Justin Tucker and who knew what about all these women here, and he's run from me. The owner has run from me as a journalist. So I don't think the owner has the belly to fire the coach or the general manager. He considers them both sons of his. Like literally, Eric DaCosta stayed here 10 years waiting to get the gig. Ozzie's still in the building 5 days a week, if not six. I don't know that John has the belly to go run off and work for the Mara family to inherit a quarterback with the Giants. Same thing with Tomlin. I don't know how the coaching seats and the quarterback seats and the draft position and the money, how all of that relates. But I do know that these decisions are going to be Joe
Good
Flacco was
comeback.
great until he wasn't anymore, right? Aaron Rodgers was great in Green Bay until he wasn't anymore. And I think you look at Lamar different as a $65 million quarterback who hasn't been able to practice on Wednesday, who's getting your coach fired, like to some degree, getting the coach fired, the offensive coordinator too, because they drew all of this up for Lamar Jackson to do it, and they haven't had it on the field this year, and they're being judged on it, not necessarily even by Bisciotti. They're getting judged in the standings, and they're getting judged in the stands, where the people here are antsy about their tickets, about the money, about, I mean, I just see it. I see the value of the tickets. I see where the community is here with going to games and investing in the team and then running commercials, begging people to buy tickets. Vinny, it wasn't like that for 25 years here. You know,
I
till they put
know.
Chad Steele and Sashi Brown in charge of the place to F it all up. Like, people here are loyal and they're down and all that, but I'm not feeling that right now about the team. And
Do you
if they
personally?
were to go and lose with or without Lamar in Pittsburgh, and they don't play a home game here next week, it is a really, really disappointing year here.
Oh,
And I think
100%.
the other side is if they win with a backup quarterback or even a gimpy Lamar, and they play a home game next week, it won't feel as much like a 9-8 year. It'll feel more like, well, they could have been 11-5 had the officials not screwed them in that. You know, like you can play all of that when you're playing football games on playoff weekend at home and you have
Right.
a chance to do that. And so they can really deodorize a lot next week. And I think if you love John and if you love Lamar and if you love stability and if you love the roster in August and are willing to give them a pass on all of this, then winning Sunday will be an elixir to keep all of that together. Losing on Sunday for either franchise will be hell and turmoil, I think.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think if they lose Sunday, there's going to be a lot of change this offseason. And I really hope Lamar's not one of those changes, just because I hope they could work out a negotiation where they do keep him, because I really think he's the driving force of this. He's a spark plug to this team. And I think there's just no life without him, unless, again, they draft somebody who could play just as well or even close to as well as him, which is very hard to do. But from the coaching perspective, it's like every week I feel different. One week I'm like, oh, we got to keep Harbaugh because he's been here for so long and he has a good culture there. But there's another week that I'm like, ah, oh, damn, they made bad, poor coaching decisions with the run game. And during these pressers, when we're asking, is Lamar going to play this week? And he's like, never really like
As a
upfront.
guy who was thrown out of his press conferences after 30 years of doing this and
Right.
watching him lie again and again, right? Like, in a general sense, the notion that he has been impenetrable in the building, that he's can't be fired, that he's Steve's golden child, and all of these disappointments, there's a lot that sticks to Harbaugh lately, including how the Mile High Miracle saved his career, like literally four times at the goal line after blowing a three touchdown lead in the Super Bowl. The blowing the lead thing, that's not Nestor's story about getting thrown out and having my Caucasian employee credential this week while I'm not in Pittsburgh, and having my name muddied across the media landscape of the entire league after 4 decades of doing this. But the issue with Harbaugh is the blown leads now sticking to him to some degree,
Right.
and the fact that they just, as a unit, have not shown up in big games. Mark Andrews, Lamar, Zay Flowers, Marlon Humphrey,
Wow.
all of these guys have, Derrick Henry, they've all had bad moments in big spots. You know, something that doesn't stick to Harbaugh? Then you're an old schooler. The Billy Cundiff miss came with, they
I
had a
remember that.
timeout in
Yeah,
their
that
pocket.
sucked. Yeah, that
They
was
had a
terrible.
timeout in their pocket and didn't go to the Super Bowl. They rushed a kick they missed on the road in amidst chaos. That doesn't stick to him. What sticks to him was winning a Super Bowl 12 years ago. What doesn't stick to him is pissing away playoff games the last 5 years with the best player on the planet, like literally, and blowing all these leads in the regular season
I was
to find
frustrated.
themselves in this situation. So there is, listen, the Harbaugh thing isn't Nestor. They beat the
No, it's
Packers like a dog on Saturday night. And
right.
when they went to the break, every national media, down the Shannon Sharp, was, well, if they would have ran Derrick Henry last week, they'd be the division champs already, right? Like, so Harbaugh's taken on a lot of national heat lately. And then there's the problem with people leaving the stadium here and them selling tickets here. This would be really bad if they lose on Sunday night. And they're supposed to win now, with their backup quarterback, which makes
Yeah.
it even more pressure, I think.
What makes it challenging with Harbaugh too is I feel like if he gets fired if there was like a lot of different coaches that could actually like come in and be a new voice and be able to do what he did early on in his career when the team was rolling early on, and be a new look and like give him a breath of fresh air, then I feel like maybe they do need that change. I don't think Harbaugh is like a bad coach. I think recently he's made some bad coaching decisions. It hasn't had the team up to snuff in the late in the games when they're blowing leads and stuff. Some of those blundered run calling plays and stuff, not running Henry at the right time. So I do agree with you. I think there's things that like recently Harbaugh keeps doing the same mistakes over and over again, and he needs to make these adjustments like he did against Green Bay. But luckily it wasn't too little too late, and that's got to continue next week against Pittsburgh. If it doesn't, then I think there needs to be a meeting had that like what's going on here? Like we keep making the same mistakes over and over again. We're gonna need to either make a change. The other thing is, remember when Aaron Boone, like with the Yankees, the last few years, like they haven't gotten over the hump. But before they went to the World Series last year, the year before that, they were thinking about making a change, and they said that they had the players do like a team vote if they want, if they liked having Boone in the locker room as their head coach or not head coach, the manager, and if they wanted to or if they wanted to change. And they voted that they wanted to keep him, and they loved the way he managed the team, and they wanted to keep him around. So they re-signed him.
Well, if
And
you speak about inmates running the asylum, then you're talking
I'm
about
wondering,
exactly if Lamar doesn't like Harbaugh doesn't like
then
Lamar,
there's going to be a separation.
some real manure is going to hit the fan. And
So
that's why that was problematic last week. And you could see from the Ravens' perspective of saying, we're paying you a lot of money to not be available. And if you are available, we're expecting you to run in the linebackers and survive it. I don't know. I don't know at 30 years of age. Feels a little different than it did 8 years ago. And they've had
oh,
all
yeah,
of the
for sure.
success, right? They've had all of the success that Harbaugh, it sticks to Harbaugh to say he always has him ready to play. He's a great coach. He'd be out of work 5 minutes. Same thing with Tomlin, who's been doing this with chicken salad. They've been mediocre because his talent's been mediocre.
No, yeah, I know. This year, he's just de definitely underwhelming this year, with whether it's because of the hobbled injuries or whatever. It's definitely been not the same as the last 2 years. And I think that's what everybody's hoping for, is that either he's going to come back healthy, and we see MVP Lamar going into this playoff stretch here, because I'm going to consider next week the playoffs. Like, it's win or go home for both teams. So the playoffs start next week. If he could be back to MVP Lamar, I think they could make a deep run. But if he looks like this hobbled Lamar we've seen the last 5 or 6 weeks, yeah, I think they're going to be potentially done this next week, unless Huntley plays and squeaks them in, and then they lose the following week. And then, like you said, there's going to be all this, are they going to keep the coach? Is Lamar going to stick around? And if they do a team type of, the whole team wants him there, not the upper management, but I'm talking about like just the team. If they all think that Harbaugh, if he still has the locker room and believes in the coach, I mean the whole team believes in the coach, I think that's when they should try to stick it out one more year because of some of the injuries and the stuff they dealt with this year. I know there was a lot of coaching mishaps, but there was also a lot of injuries. If next year's like a cleaner year and they're still having these issues, then I think it's time for 100% time for a change. But I think, I don't want to say I want to give it a pass, but I feel like there's a lot of things that happened this year that kind of held them back a little bit. And if Lamar continues to be injured next year, then we could have that conversation of, all right, maybe he's going downhill now in his career and he's not where he was the last couple of years. I still believe that there's something left in the tank with Lamar to have those, the way he played the last 2 years. I think there's still that in the future with the Ravens, if they could work out a deal with him and make this whole, all this drama work out, because there's so much drama with Baltimore. All like every year with the Ravens, there's whether it's injuries, them blowing leads, or them having an amazing season and then blowing it in the playoffs, there always seems to be some dramatic situation that happens with the Ravens where other teams deal with it, but not to the level. It's like almost like torture.
Well, there's nothing more
No.
dramatic than having to go into Pittsburgh in week
Yeah.
18 with your backup quarterback and try to beat a Hall of Fame quarterback. And everything's at stake for them. All I can say is, Vinny, turn your hat around backward. Let's get ready, man, because Renegade's going to play at some point
Yep.
on Sunday night, and we're going to have to see where the stakes are at that point. Vinny Velarde's here. He makes films. He works at Major League Baseball. And our friends, Bill Ripken and Harold Reynolds, again, good Oriole rep. Millar. We had a lot of
Yeah.
Oriole representation up there in Secaucus at various points. As well, Ken Rosenthal's another one of my dudes from way back. I always see him well represented with the MLB Network as well. So keep up the good work there. Where can we see
Yeah.
your horror film? Not horrible films. Horror films. Just make sure.
So you can see Trapped Inside My Sin on Tubi, Fossum TV, and it's on Sumo and Plex as well. And it could also be linked through Apple TV to Tubi.
If you really need a bad actor or a guy that could, take the bullet or play the heavy, let me know.
Absolutely, you're
I'm
more than
available.
welcome, man. I'm doing another horror film in November.
Guys in Jersey asked you to make a film up there. I saw The Sopranos, so I know what's going on there. I got schooled last week about what bacala was, and I thought it was Bobby Bacala from, but no, it's like a fish that they eat on the Seven Fishes. So you sound Italian too, so maybe you did that. So
I didn't do the Seven Fishes, but I definitely know about that tradition
they
for
sent me
sure.
pictures last week from Deep Pasquale's. I'm like, I'm not gonna next year. I even Google translated next year into Italian to let them know that I've been canting for that. Vinny Velarde's here. He does all things horror films, and he's a raving guy. So he's been wanting to come on the program. He works in MLB with a bunch of cool people. So the Orioles upgraded. You're okay with the Orioles? You're good with that upgrade?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're coming from a Yankees fan. That's good. So.
I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be competitive. They'll be in the mix this year.
How old were you in 1996 when Jeffrey Mayer stole that baseball?
I was nine.
I was at the game. I was about 50 feet away, and where the press box was in the old Yankee Stadium was down the left field line, or excuse me, right field line. And where the whiz sign, where he reached over, literally me, Alan McCallum, and Scott Garceau were looking right down the line, and we watched the kid's arm go over the wall. Like we
I
didn't
see that
see it
replay
from,
all
we
the
saw it from the side. We didn't even we saw it from down right down the line, because Yankee Stadium was weird. It was like octagonal kind of sort of, but the new one's kind of
I'm not a big fan of the new one either. I like
I prefer
the old
City
one
Park when I
was
come up there.
historic. Yeah.
If I were going to be in New York somewhere, had to get on a train and go to a baseball game, I would go
You'd
to the
rather go to
Mets.
City
I would go
Field's
to the
way
Mets. I
better.
would,
Yeah, for
absolutely.
sure.
And besides, I get good Asian food out in Flushing. All right, I am Nestor. We are WNST AM. I'm going to ask Pete Alonzo when I meet him, where to get the good food in Flushing, because I'll take him out for a crab cake, because that's what we need to do for these Florida guys. I'm back for more. It's a big week around here. Happy New Year to everybody. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Lucky Candy Cane Cash. They smell like Christmas. They smell like peppermint. It's like peppermint cane leftovers. So that's good. I'll have those throughout the month of January to get the Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. And of course, a cup of soup or bowl is coming in February. I hope a playoff game's coming here next week. We're back for more. It's Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.